Okay, I am Patrick W., and I am the archives biographer for Pinellas County District 1, and I'm sitting here with Thadine F., who is a long-term member of AA, and I'm going to ask her some questions and about the history of Pinellas County AA and her involvement in it. So we are going to begin our interview, and this is Thadine.
Hey, everybody. My name is Thadine F., and I am an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is January 14th, 1990. And I do have a home group. It's a 2250 group. It's been my home group ever since I've been sober. And I do have a sponsor, and I sponsor others.
Thank you. Okay, the first part of our interview is regarding before you came to AA. So tell me a little bit about your life before AA.
It was wild and chaotic. This is my second time being sober. So I originally am from Niagara Falls, New York, Buffalo, New York, and that's where my wild days of drinking were. When I was, I grew up in a family that my mom and dad drank, and I'm the oldest of three, and so I learned what you learn when you grow up in an alcoholic family. You know, I learned to keep secrets, not to show my feelings. And I often told myself I'd never be like my mother, who definitely was an alcoholic. She told me much later when I was in my 20s. And my dad wasn't going to be like him. But lo and behold, there I am. And somewhere in my mid-teens, I already had the isms because I wanted to be the one in control. And by the time I was 10, I thought that I was knew better about my life than my parents. But in my teens, there was an abuse situation that happened, and I didn't want to feel the emotions, I couldn't share things that were going on with me, and I turned to alcohol to drown them out. And actually, at age 15, I wanted to kill myself, and I wanted to do that through drinking, and pills. And I'm not a street person like that because I wasn't privy, or I'm just not street smart that way, but prescription drugs. Anyway, the alcohol is what I chose. And I went down the cellar up there. You have cellars. And I had a whole thing of whiskey and a whole thing of pills that I mixed up with my mom's pills, and went downstairs, and I thought for sure I was going to die. I was even praying for it, so I drank everything and took all the pills, and indeed I thought I was going to die, but I passed out, but I thought I was dying. But lo and behold, I woke up, and then I was angry at God.
And how old were you?
15.
15.
Yeah. Prior to that, I only had drinks like from family picnics and family get-togethers. I never really did much drinking with friends or anything like that. And then even after that incident, I didn't pursue any alcohol till I was in my college years, which was around age 20. But by that time, mid-20s, I was an alcoholic. That's the only thing I thought about was getting the next drink. I started having blackouts, and that's the first time I knew that I had a problem, because I realized that I couldn't stop once I picked a drink up. It just went on and on.
Okay.
And that was my first, and then I was going to seeing a group for survivors, and then that's how I connected with AA, was through a member in that group. And so the first time that I talked with anyone in AA was up in New York, up in Buffalo. And there was an incident, one Friday night, and my group was like, "What's going on?" I had temporarily stopped because I told myself different things. If I could stop, I'm not an alcoholic because I could stop. If I don't drink in the morning, I'm not an alcoholic. If I don't drink at work, I'm not an alcoholic. But that all of those occurred. And so I kept running out of reasons why I was not an alcoholic. But this one Friday night, I didn't want to because I knew that if I did, it was going to be major. I have a lot of yets in my story still. And I didn't want to run into any kind of, I knew it was a major doom was going to happen. And a person from that group had a number of someone who was in AA.
Okay.
And then, so I did get sober. But that, I just have to say, then that Friday night, I did connect with someone with an AA. And so I did get sober the first time in Buffalo.
Okay. And so when did you come to Pinellas County?
Yeah, right. So that sponsor and his family moved to Florida and said, can you help us drive a car down? So I did, and I fell in love with the weather. And they were going to stay forever, and I was only going to stay to move a car. And just the opposite happened. I ended up moving down here, and originally in Fort Myers, and I got a job. And that family moved back up north, but I stayed. My job moved me to St. Petersburg, Florida, after a period of time. So I ended up in St. Pete. And my first meeting here didn't happen until after I was here for 6 months. And I claimed I had 4 years, but I really only had like two, because I had taken, I was drinking and taking 222s, but the denial of that was so thick that I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. So my first meeting here was on a Friday night, and it was the beginners meeting at St. Pete Group. And
did you make that your home group?
No, because from there I went to San Martin, which I fell in love with. And then the next day I went to Holiday Isles. I ended up at Holiday Isles. But then on Sunday, there was a group of women that met me at San Martin on that Friday night. And there was a group of four women, and one of them, and I thought it was great. San Martin was really great. They had the house, the fire going. And when I walked in, they greeted me, and then and they looked at me they asked me how long I've been sober, and I told them 4 years. And they kind of looked at me, you know how someone looks at you when you're lying? And I'm like, what? And this one person, woman said, well, you look a little rough for 4 years. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Who the heck are you? But anyway, we met again on Saturday night, and then they picked me up on Sunday to take me to 2250 group. And when they took me there, and the old one on Central Avenue, it was on Central Avenue at the time, I thought to myself, oh my God, it looks like a motorcycle club. I didn't know what I was getting into. But the spirit there was there, and that's where I met my first sponsor. And the spirit at 2250 has always been 1989, okay. The very first time that I went into 2250, but it's a little discrepancy with my that's a little discrepancy, because it was like Thanksgiving time, Christmas, and I still thought I had 4 years of sobriety. So come January, I was realizing that I was not sober that long, and I had a conversation with my sponsor and said, you know what, I remembered that I had drank and everything, and I said, I think I need to start over. And so together we came up with my white blue chip sobriety date, January 14th, 1990. So,
and that was here in Pinellas County?
Yeah, that was in Pinellas County.
At what group?
At the 2250 group, okay. Yeah, which has been around for 37 years. It was started in 1985, 1986. And so when I came along in 1989, it was still a young group. Mm-hmm. I've actually seen 2250 go through all their stages of maturity.
and do you feel like that group, that has been your home group all
ever
along,
since,
right?
Yes.
And you feel like that group has had a big influence in the community about helping people get and stay sober?
Oh yeah, early on, that group has always had as their primary purpose is to help the suffering alcoholic and the newcomers. And so sponsorship is a big a big focus of the group and the members of the group, but also of service work for district and further if people get involved with area. My sponsor at the time was involved as a GSR, and I went with her one day. She asked if anyone wanted to go to a district meeting, and I was like, yeah, my sister Pigeons, who happens to be the one who said that to me about that. And we're very, very good friends now. She has, 2 years more than me. 2 years more than I am sober. And we're still friends now. Anyway, my sponsor was into the service work, and I got the service bug. And even though I was too young at the time in sobriety, because when I started doing that, it was like 9 months, she got me involved with the archives. I went to a service fair that they still have. We still have the service fairs that go on in here in Pinellas County every year. And I went to that one at that time with my sponsor as well, and I met the delegate for the area. Her name was Frances Cherry, and I just fell in love not with her, but with her, with the service work, with what people were doing. And so I ended up going and being involved in district in different ways. GSR, Grapevine Chair, and then moving on to officers. Every officer but the DCM one, only because that's what happened.
Okay, so that takes us into service. So what was your first impression of AA's three legacies of recovery, unity, and service? And did you understand those?
Not when I first got sober.
But as you grew into service work, you understood them more?
Yeah. The reason why I understood more is because of my involvement. I was very fortunate that when I first got involved, there were people who had been involved for a while, and from my home group as well. My home group was and still is involved in different committees and different ways of being involved, like with the treatment centers. But the service I got right away from, like, in my group level, but unity was when I started going to the district meetings and or in the area meetings, seeing how AA really is unified with the primary purpose of helping other alcoholics stay sober, but also with the traditions. And I learned a lot about the traditions by being in service work, learning about the concepts, but that took even longer time. It has helped my recovery, because as much as step work is part of my staying sober and what I do, steps are a big part of my sobriety. I learned about my character defects when I was in service, and I learned about how to practice principles in all my affairs through service work that I carried over, like, into other areas, like work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you found that we're actually getting a little ahead, which is okay. You're answering the questions before I ask them, but that's okay. So you found that service work was instrumental in you staying sober, which obviously it was.
Absolutely.
And briefly, tell me what service positions over the years and committee commitments that you accepted, and did you have a favorite one?
Okay, yeah. It started early on. I was alternate GSR, and then I was GSR for my home group. Well, even in my home group, because that's really where service started, making coffee, okay, and being a greeter, being secretary for my group, and then alternate GSR, GSR, and then from there, while I was, even before the GSR, my sponsor introduced me to the current archivist at the time when I only had 9 months. So I got involved with the archives committee even before the time.
And do you remember who that was, archivist was at
her
that
name,
time?
Yeah, Nancy Giannini was her name. And she was a...
And what year was this?
And that was during my first year, so it was like 1990 still.
Okay.
Yeah. So right from the beginning, I pretty much had involvement with service work. But it was a committee member. It wasn't as anything else. And I didn't think I was, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't, you know. But as I was alternate GSR, and then we have sub-districts in District 1, so I was a DCM for a sub-district. And then from there, I did become the Grapevine chair for the district. I got involved with the PICPC. I wasn't the chair for that, but I was alternate. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into officership in district, which I had started out with recording secretary, and then at that time we had the what they call now the registrar. That's where and at that time they called it corresponding secretary. And I really learned about my character defects because I have this character defect can get out of hand called procrastination. And I did. There was a lot of not good things that happened because I procrastinated in getting information out, which caused problems. And at an area at the district level, people were calling me on my stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. saying, you know what, you're not being effective. And there was even a motion brought, actually, because you can, there's a way for people who are in officership, if they're not doing what they're doing, there can be a group decision mm-hmm. And a vote to vote you out. Mm-hmm. And I faced that. And I was about 7 years sober when that happened.
So what did you learn from that?
I learned that I can't procrastinate. No, I learned a lot. My sponsor, because I said, should I just quit? And she said, well, I'm not going to tell you yes or no, but there's something here for you to learn. You know, you keep saying you're going to do this job. Well, there's a responsibility. When you take this position, there's something that you need to realize that, you know, you're servicing more. It's not just about a title. It's not just about that. So I did not quit. I wait, and whatever would happen at the vote at the district level with the motion, I was willing to accept. So I did apologize before they came up with that motion, but the motion came before the district and people went up to the mic and they said, she doesn't do this, and it didn't get out, newcomers don't, GSRs don't have the info, and blah, blah, blah. Well, there was support for me though too. And they stood up. There was a couple people, Bill R., who he's passed, but he had many years of sobriety. He was one of my mentors when I first got involved in service work. And he stood up and he talked about how this is a program of progress and that, you know, we learn from our mistakes mm-hmm. and we should give her a chance to show if she's learned from her mistake. So what happened from that was the motion did not pass that they got rid of me or whatever. I was very grateful, but there was that stipulation that if things didn't improve, that then I would be. But I did improve. And I also learned that it's not just about serving where I want to serve, it's serving where there's a need. Mm-hmm. And my first example, that was the Grapevine Committee chair. Because in the district, nobody wanted to stand. And Bill R. looked at me, and he's like over here, and he's like, so they went on to other, you know, positions and stuff. And he goes, why didn't you stand for the Grapevine chair? And I go, and I hate to admit it, but at that time, I was not interested in the Grapevine. And he said, it's not about what you want. It's mm. about where you need to be. Mm. So I stood, and I did get it. And I tell you the truth, I fell in love with the Grapevine then.
Right,
and,
right.
So I stood for different positions throughout the district, and I had a friend of mine, and actually she's moved on up a lot throughout the time, where we both wanted to be a delegate because that's really where I wanted to go. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, mm-hmm. but my fire for service work, and seeing changes with district, and how we've grown. And face challenges. It's been amazing to me to see how we can in Pinellas County. We have like over 200 meetings, 200, mm-hmm. and when we get together, I mean, at district, it was just like so many things happened. And when I went to area meetings, the first time I went to area business meeting with my sponsor way back when, but when I became a DCM for my sub-district. And then our vote we carry with GSRs, but that would go with our DCM for our district. Mm-hmm. And learning about how that works, learning about how what members want, because this is how AA works.
That's right.
Ideas come from and change comes from the ground level zero. That's us, members of groups, group members, and then it goes up and it moves up. It's not like New York. You know, GSO rules us. We're the ones that have positions that we're the ones that elect those people. We're the ones that say they can be, you know, being of service to us. But they don't say to us, this is what we're going to do. We say, this is what we would like. And I had the opportunity to be part of the first time for, like, when they were coming up with the fourth edition big book. And I'll tell you what, when that fourth edition was coming up and emotion was coming up in area, because that's where mm-hmm. I took it back, you know, to my home groups, and I'll tell you what, people started coming out of the woodwork to meetings mm-hmm. at intergroup as well as district, voicing their opinion about what should be in that big book and what shouldn't mm-hmm. and how it should change and not change. And I know there's another one coming up, so I'm kind of excited. I've had time where I haven't been able to be as involved at the area level or district level because of my, you know, work in that. But I'm back into it. I slowly got back into it, maybe 3 years ago or so. But now now that I'm retired, I can really, really get into it.
Good. And we'll let you get into it.
No kidding. They're already asking me. They're already saying, you know, what about this? What about that? But, you know.
So my next question would be, which obviously you do. Do you feel like you've made a difference as a member of the AA Fellowship? And do you still do service work and sponsor people?
Yeah. Okay. So I think, you know, I don't like to take the credit like that. I think it's God whenever I, you know, sponsor women and help anyone. It's God that does it. Mm-hmm. I can be a channel, but I don't want to take the credit and say I did this or I did that. But I do believe that through positions that I've had, I've been able to inform my home group members and also women that I sponsor or other women. They come up to me and ask me if I could be their service sponsor, which, you know, I'm happy to do, because there's so much information that a lot of people don't know, mm-hmm. like especially about concepts. Right. I just recently, for the last few months, I've been attending a Zoom meeting, but it's on the concepts, and it's at 2 p.m. On Mondays. And if you go on AA as a whole, you could say something like concepts meeting, you know, 2 p.m. I'm pretty sure you could find it. And there's people who are on there who have time, but there's also past delegates and our current delegate, and we've been talking about the concepts and in a way that we don't necessarily do that. Not a lot of meetings do. Right. I know with my home group, for a while, we voted to have a concepts meeting or a literature meeting. So we would talk about, we'd have traditions, we'd have concepts, we'd read, AA and the Good Old Timers, Dr. Bob, you know, mm-hmm. and Dr. Bob and Good Old, and there's so much information that can still be, shared with so many people. And currently, I'm not in the district level yet, but I will be doing that come soon.
But I know you do a lot of group service work, because I'm also a member of your home group. So I see you there working all the time, and we're greatly appreciative of that. So
I've gotten involved with some to get my feet wet, like with the registration. We just had a quarterly.
Right.
And so I offered, I was approached and asked if I would help out with taking a meeting at 10 p.m. And I said yes. And so I did that. That's sort of like getting me, you know, my feet wet a little bit. And then also there's Founders Day coming up, and I'm going to be involved with that. So there's a lot. There's different things that I can do. But yeah, I'm still, and I sponsor women right now. Okay, there's not a new woman, but I know that how that flows.
But you're,
I
mean, there and you're available, and that's wonderful. So
absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you. This is going to conclude our interview. Thank you so much for your time and opening up your home to me this morning. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again, I'm sure.
Thanks. I'm so honored to have the archives ask me to share.
Well,
so thank
you
so much.
We're honored to have you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was really good.
Was it?
Very good.
Oh my God.
Very good.